So as we are all still, most of us, there are a few here that know me very well, but most of us are still in the process of getting acquainted. You may or may not know that I went to a pretty small high school. There were about 70 people in my graduating class, and there were a lot of good and bad consequences of that. But one of the consequences was that when it came to being involved in school activities, and in particular sports, you could do what you wanted to do. If you wanted to play basketball, it was very likely that you could play basketball. If you wanted to play soccer, you could play soccer, and so on. So it just so happened that I wanted to play sports. I wanted to play soccer. I wanted to play basketball. I wanted to play softball, and I was able to. It also just so happens, remember, this was a very small school, that I was pretty good. In fact, when I was a senior, I was chosen as the most valuable player on all three teams, soccer, basketball, softball, and I was even named MVP of the all-district team for soccer. So when I went off to college at Cornell University, I decided that I would try out for the Cornell women's soccer team. I mean, I was the school MVP and even the district MVP. Of course, they would want me on the Cornell women's team. Now, it just so happened that Diane, who was a new friend that I had met in freshman orientation, she lived down the hall from me in the dorm, she was also trying out. And she said to me, "Deb, let's make a deal. Let's agree that we will stick it out through all 3 days of tryouts, no matter what happens." And I said, "Of course we'll stick it out." And I couldn't imagine what possible reason there could be why we wouldn't, because after all, I was pretty good. And I was planning on making the team, so why wouldn't I stick out the 3 days of tryouts? So we struck a deal, and off we went for day one of the tryouts. I will come back to that later. In our text for today, Naaman, like me, kind of seemed like a big deal, right? We learn in the first verse of today's passage that he was the commander of the king's army, a great man, highly favored by the king, and a mighty warrior. That's how he's introduced. All of those things. Naaman was a man to be reckoned with. He was a man of power and status and authority. He was a big deal. He was a man who had everything going for him. Well, almost everything. There was this one pesky little, well, maybe not so little thing that was not going for him. He had leprosy. You probably know that to have leprosy in biblical times was a very serious thing. When it's used in the Bible, it's thought to refer to a variety of infectious and incurable diseases. And for Jews in particular, the existence of leprosy caused a person to be ritually unclean, which was a very big deal. Naaman, however, was not a Jew, so the state of being ritually unclean didn't matter as much to him. But certainly it was undesirable and incurable, and I suspect that as a man of his stature and power, he felt he probably didn't really deserve this. Okay, so we're going to move on to the next character in today's text, and that was the young Jewish girl who had been taken captive during one of Naaman's army's raids against Israel. In other words, someone whose situation in life was about as far opposite from Naaman's as possible. He was a fully grown man. She was a young girl. He was the commander of the king's army, and she had been captured by that army and had become a servant to his wife. He had tremendous power and authority and status. She, I suspect, had none of any of that. He was a big deal. She was not. He had almost everything going for him. She had just about nothing going for her, just about nothing, except there was this one pesky little, well, maybe not so little thing that she did have going for her. She had faith. Despite her youth, despite the fact that she was a girl, despite her captivity, despite her status as a servant, despite all of that, she still had something going for her. She had faith, and she had courage. And she knew that she had something to offer. And she spoke up. This young girl from Israel heard of Naaman's condition, heard of his leprosy, and being Jewish, She knew how devastating that could be. Despite the fact that his army had captured her and taken her away from her community and her family, and I suspect she wasn't taken kindly and gently with promises of a better life, despite these realities of her situation, she spoke up because she knew where he could find healing. She knew how he could be restored to wholeness. She may not have been a big deal, but she knew where to find the real deal. And she offered that to Naaman. And he listened. The fact that he listened to a young girl, a young Jewish girl, a young conquered captive Jewish girl who was his wife's servant, gives some indication of how desperately he really wanted to be healed. That, plus the fact that he took gobs and gobs of money when he went to see Elisha. I tried to find out how much 10 talents of silver and 6,000 shekels of gold would be worth in money that we could understand, and I couldn't find a particular amount, but it was a lot of money. So off he went with his big deal self, showing up with heaps of money, a handwritten letter from the king, riding in with his horsets and chariots, probably not quietly or discreetly, coming to a stop outside Elisha's house. All puffed up, I can imagine, with his huge ego and his sense of self-importance, and all of that masking his silent desperation for healing. After all, he really was a big deal and had just about everything going for him. So there he was outside Elisha's house, and I'm going to use a little poetic license here and imagine the scene in a little more detail than we read about in 2 Kings. So I imagine that he was there with his horses snorting and breathing hard from their fast gallop, over their feet stamping and pawing the ground while the chariots rocked back and forth as they settled to their stop. And Naaman waits for this prophet of Israel to come out, this prophet of the Jewish God who can supposedly cure his leprosy, this prophet of the God of the little Jewish girl captive in his home, who had sworn that her God, through this man Elisha, could take away this pesky little, pretty terrible burden that he was forced to live with. And so he waited for Elisha to come out. Did he dare hope? Could this man really heal him when no one else could? When up to this point, all of the king's money and power and authority that rested in Naaman had not been able to do anything? Maybe it was a mistake to come. What was he thinking? What could this man possibly do that hadn't been done before? What could this man, one of the conquered peoples from this little tribe of people called the Israelites, what could he possibly have to offer that Naaman hadn't already tried? So he waited outside Elisha's house, hope and despair rising, faith and doubt mingling. And all the while, his self-important, everything going for him, puffed up, big deal bravado, seeming to grow bigger and bigger until, wait, he heard something inside the house. He heard a noise, stirrings that caused Naaman to think, someone's coming. It must be the man, the prophet, the one who will surely come out and raise his hands to the heavens and implore his God on my behalf, the miracle worker who will surely summon forth magic from the skies and whose touch will then heal my leprosy on the spot with a wave of his hands. And with hope growing despite himself and bated breath, Naaman watched as the door opened and out stepped a messenger. Wait, what? And the messenger said, paraphrased a little bit, oh, you must be Naaman. Yeah, well, my master said to tell you that you should go to the Jordan River, step into it, and wash yourself. Do that 7 times and you'll be fine. Okay, thanks for coming. Have a safe trip home. And he turned around, went back inside, and closed the door, leaving Nathan and his horses and his chariots and his leprosy standing there thinking, what just happened? This can't be right. You can imagine him thinking, I deserve more than that. He must not know who I am. I am a big deal. And the scripture says he became angry and went away in a rage seeming to think that the way he had been treated, like Joyce said, was beneath him, that the way Elisha had responded to him was not good enough. It was not sufficient to his status, that the method of healing he had been offered did not adequately represent his greatness. Naaman's view of reality clearly was all twisted up with the power and authority and status of being a big deal. And because of that, he almost missed out on the healing and wholeness that comes with knowing and experiencing the real deal. And that knowing of the real deal, that knowing of what really matters, that knowing of what ultimately and eternally matters, that comes with the view of reality that the young Jewish girl held, the view of reality that Elisha held, the view of reality that is twisted up not with the power and authority and status of being a big deal in the eyes of society, but the view of reality that is eternally and inextricably bound with being a beloved child of the God of Israel, who is the God made incarnate in Jesus, who is the God present within and among us in the Holy Spirit. This view of reality is the real deal. And while it does not offer worldly power or military authority or levels of status deemed admirable and desirable by society, it does offer things of even greater and more lasting value, things like healing and wholeness and acceptance and forgiveness and peace and love and these things in abundance. And not just to those who think they are a big deal, but to everyone. Big deal, little deal, no deal. The gifts that come with knowing the real deal are available to everyone. You don't need 6,000 shekels of gold, or a letter from the king, or a reference from your former boss, or anything. Well, except for maybe one pesky little thing. You need, I believe, a willingness to receive these gifts. Naaman almost missed out because he thought it was too easy. It was beneath him. It wasn't dramatic enough. It wasn't hard enough. It wasn't big deal enough. And he almost walked away from healing and wholeness that God offered him through Elisha. But he didn't. He realized, with a little help from his friends, that he needed and wanted that healing. And he allowed that desire to become a willingness to be healed, a willingness to receive the gifts, a willingness to acknowledge that while he may very well have been a big deal, this God of Israel was the real deal, and he was healed. And we know that too, right? We know the God of Israel, the God who took on flesh in Jesus, the God who lives within among and among us in the Holy Spirit. We know this God is the real deal. We know this God offers healing for the broken parts of us and wholeness for all that is fragmented. We know this God offers acceptance for the ugly parts and forgiveness of all that is unloving and unlovable. We know this God offers peace in the midst of our anxiety and our confusion and our despair. We know this God offers love in the midst of everything. How do we know this God offers all these things, all of these gifts? Because we know this God. We know this God. We may or may not be a big deal. We may be more like Naaman than the Jewish girl and kind of be a big deal. Or we may be more like the Jewish girl than Naaman and not be a big deal at all. But it doesn't matter because we know the real deal. And we have that to offer to the world around us, whether they are a big deal or not. And speaking of being a big deal, let me finish the story that I started with about my glory days in high school soccer and my big deal self deciding to grace the Cornell women's soccer team with my presence. I'll finish that story by simply saying that those 3 days of tryouts were the most humiliating 3 days I have ever experienced. I did not make the team, but I did stick out the 3 days, thanks only to the deal that I had made with my friend Diane. and I realized that I really was not a big deal. But that's okay, because since then I have come to know the truth about the real deal, and that is so, so much better. Thanks be to God. Amen.